Before we go further in the service, we'd like to ask if there might be anything upon anybody's hearts they feel like needs to be said or done. If not, and you got your Bibles and you want to follow along with us, I'm going to take a reading lesson out of the first letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy in chapter 1 there. I'm going to start with verse 1. And Paul, as he is writing to the young preacher here, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. From which, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for manstealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And thank you for your patience with us in reading that. You know, I was trying to study and pray this whole week about what God might have me to say and do. And be honest, I still don't have a clear thought, but we're just going to follow God this morning. And we ask that you all would just be prayerful for us. But you see, Paul, he was writing here to the young preacher Timothy. And he was trying to give him the basics of the teaching of the law here that he was to present and that he was to preach. And if you read all throughout the Bible, the law that was given to Moses there in Exodus, it was really, the law was to really show us how short of the glory of God that we come to as mankind. It shows us that mankind in his sinful, low state, he is in need of a Savior. And Paul here, he is writing to Timothy how the law, it's not given to those who are holy and those who are righteous and are perfect in their ways, but it's given to those who are lawless, who are without law, who are without rule. It is given, and there's one word that he uses here along all the other examples that he used about men liars, about people who lay with men and whoremongers, but there is one word he used that it was given to sinners. Folks, I know that we all know this, but we all are born sinners in this world. And we all die sinners. And I understand in the world and the culture that we live in, that's not a very favorite saying, but it's true. We read in Psalms 51 that the writer himself, I believe that in that particular psalm, it was David who was writing, but he said, in sin, my mother had conceived me. So when sin entered in the world, it caused all of us as mankind in a fallen nature to be born in a fallen nature, to be born sinners. And everything we do in this world that we live in, really, it's all vanity. The thoughts of our heart and the evilness of it, it's all vanity. There's people who say that that you need to follow your heart. And that is a wrong precept, as Jeremiah tells us that all that is in the heart is evilness and wickedness continually. But I'm telling you today, those who have been saved by the grace of God, don't follow your heart, follow God. You see, we have given this precept from years past in our churches that we can do anything that we want and it'll be okay. We can do anything that we want to the imagination of our minds and our hearts and it'll be a-okay. But I'm telling you, if it doesn't uplift Jesus, then there ain't nothing okay with that. See, our whole services are singing, and I believe that, and I'm thankful for the good singing that we had, especially the last song we sung, Just a Little Talk with Jesus. I'm thankful that just a little talk with Jesus makes things right. And I'm thankful that today, as I stand before each and every one of you, I can exclaim that I know the meaning of the song because I have experienced just a little talk with Jesus. But you see, as God's people, we don't need to just have a talk with Him. We also need to walk with Him. We need to be with Him. We need to indulge ourselves in Him as God's people. You know, and I recall in the book of Matthew how Jesus went and took Peter, James, and John, three of His 12 disciples, and took them up to a mount of transfiguration there where He transformed before their very eyes, how they walked with Him. And they saw something so miraculous, something so glorious. And folks, I tell you, I still believe today that if we walk with God, He will allow us to see some glorious things.
I was thinking this past week. Today is the first Sunday of October. This past year has flown by fast. It's October. Before you know it, it'll be the last day of the year of 2021. We're going to start all over again back in January 2022, if God allows time to hold on. And I was thinking about all that, and I was thinking about what all in this last year that we have experienced at the church. We've experienced two souls being born again. One in March for our fellowship service, and one on the Saturday during our revival. We experienced one of those to bring themselves before the membership of the church and to be baptized. And we experienced some more to join by letter. And I'm thankful for the blessings that God has given us this past year. But you see, God wants to continue on. I thank God with His, we talked about His characteristic this morning, and I don't want to go on into this concept that God is love, God is love, in which that is a characteristic of Him, but there's so many of just God is love being preached today from very so-called churches that that's all you ever hear. And I don't want to go on to that precept, but I do believe that God wants to bless His people, wants to not only bless them, but to see the advancement of His very kingdom. And folks, I tell you this, the closer that we get with God, the more of that same desire will be in our hearts, not to only see the church grow, but to see lost people saved. And that is and should be our number one priority. See, I was reading a book this past week, and it had opened up my eyes. The writer there, he was talking about how modern evangelism is out there, and there, what all these churches are doing is just trying to see how big and how many people they can get in their church, how many pews that they can fill. And let me tell you, it's good, and it's good to have a desire to see churches or the church house to be so full. But folks, let me tell you, I'd rather have a church house that is little and low in number, but yet have the Spirit of God moving with His people, than to have 3,000 people and have no Spirit at all. And we see how the modern day teachings of the gospel that is going on, that is what it's all about, is filling up buildings. But folks, we don't need to be about filling up buildings. We need to be about serving God. I believe the full words that Jesus gave in the book of John, how He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And I know that it is a very hard and daunting task that He has placed on us, that we would be less of ourselves, that we would decrease in our service, that He would increase. But folks, let me tell you, that has been a promise that I have seen Him fulfill. And this church has seen fulfilled. There's people who preach, well, they don't even preach about hell, but they do preach about how you need to escape the outer darkness. And that is a similar term that the Bible does use, but after it uses the term outer darkness, it also says of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you see, as a lost 7-year-old boy, when God had let me know and realize where I was and stood and where I stood before Him, you see, I then realized my condition that I was in. Not that I was and needed to be in a place where I needed to call upon Him to be saved from hell, but to call upon Him so He can save me from my sin, from my sickness. We read of King Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5 about how he suffered with a disease called leprosy, a very strict sickness that was there back then of the skin. And there was a man of God, Elijah, that appeared to him one day. And he said, you need to dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River over there. And once you dip yourself 7 times, your skin will be back to normal. It'll be good. If you look at the Jordan River, it's all muddy and it's all nasty. And King Naaman himself said, well, why do I, me being a king, have to stoop so low to dip myself here? Are not the rivers Abana and Pharpar much, much better than this? We read in Matthew how Jesus said that there is a way, that there is two ways, a road that is broad and it leads to destruction, and then there is a straight and narrow, and he said, few there be that go in and find it. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those that are perishing, those that are lost. And that troubles me. It really does. It troubles me seeing lost people come in Sunday after Sunday, feeling the Spirit move, hearing the gospel message, and yet there seems to be no sense of urgency. It breaks me. And yet there's some Sundays too when the Spirit moves and God's people starts to move with it. There's always some that they see no sense of urgency to move with the Spirit. And that troubles me. So folks, I think what I'm trying to get at here is that we need to be more focused on the job of uplifting Jesus Christ before a lost and dying world than what we need to be more than anything else. Paul wrote in the book of Philippians how he had told the church there in the second chapter there that we are to shine as lights in the world. The church, the people of God, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. There's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end of the way thereof are the ways of death. There's been people to say that they won't bow before an almighty God. And I think that's okay, because the Bible does tell us in Revelation that every knee will bow one day and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But you see, I'd rather people bow and get saved right now than people to wait till there's no time left. And folks, let me tell you, we read, and I passed by a verse in 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter and the 6th verse that Paul is writing to the church there. And he said that, therefore, let us not sleep, and so do others, but let us watch and be sober. Folks, we are seeing when Jesus ascended into heaven, he told us about the signs of the times of his appearing, of coming back, and we see each and every single bit of it coming close each and every day. I believe the coming of Jesus is closer and closer. I really do, from the bottom of my heart. And it scares me. It actually does. Not for me, I know where I'm going. But it scares me for those who are lost and separated from God. And I'm telling you this morning, if you are lost and separated from God, you need to be aware of the condition of your soul and where you are going. This broad road that leads to destruction, the pleasures of this life, which is sin and every ounce of it, all it does is it leads you to an endless life of despair and destruction. That's all it ever do. I'm telling you, people will think today that they've experienced love from their parents. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Let me tell you, I was thankful that I grew up in a house where we experienced love. You know, mom and dad, before they'd drop us off at school, they'd want us to give them a hug. You know, I'm thankful that I grew up in a household that experienced love, you know. But let me tell you, you don't know what true love is until the almighty hand of God reaches down and saves your soul. You don't know what living is like until God saved your soul. We are living in a body of an earthly clay that each and every day we are dying. We are decaying slowly. I know some of you talked about a lot of issues that's happening with the body because it's slowly, it's dying, it's decaying, we're slowing down, not able to move and be as limber like what we once was. But yet, for the people of God, even though we are dying in this life, when we pass from this life to the next, we will just begin living. Because of what God did for us, how He saved us, how in the Psalms, how it tells us that He reached out of the miry clay and says that sinking clay and set our feet upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And folks, let me tell you, I'm thankful that you know that peace, but I want them who are lost and separated from God to know what we are talking about as well. See, we need to be, even though we're saved and a member of God's church, and we might hold a leadership office here. And even though you think you don't hold a leadership office, like again, those of you who are older and in the church, let me tell you, you got some young eyes on you. People watch, you play a leadership role in this. There's no room for us to just lay down and give up. But for those of us who have been at it, those of us who are saved and are a member of God's church, we need to sit and we need to watch because the signs of the time, they are coming, they are appearing, and we need to blow the horn telling people to get ready. The law was given to us to let us know our place as God's creation. I like what John Newton, I think it's written on his tombstone. Can't remember. But I know the man who wrote Amazing Grace, he had a very sinful life before he got saved. And I believe it's engraven on his tombstone where it says, "I am a great sinner, but Christ is a greater Savior." It don't matter how bad a person has been and how deep they have sunken in their sin. I do believe that when the Spirit of God moves, I actually do believe that God people that lost people notice that too. I really do. I believe that they're able to, that once we let go of the world and once we move with the Spirit, that lost people are able to notice a difference between God's people. And we read in Psalms chapter 1 how it says, "The ungodly shall not sit with the righteous." And that's paraphrasing it. But let me tell you, if we were following the Spirit and letting our light shine, then I do believe from the lost there would be a sense of urgency. Not because of what we're doing, but because of who we're lifting up. Because let me tell you, I do believe in the drawing power of God. And I believe right now that if we get down on our knees as a church and pray for those who are lost, that God will hear. And if we're deep down burdened for them, that God will hear and God can draw them. And I'm not saying that none of us are serious about the work that God has given us. But there needs to be a seriousness in our prayers and requests to God, making them known. Paul told Timothy that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I often think, you know, Paul called himself the chief of sinners, and you know, studying a lot of early American history, you know, the Indians used to have chiefs in their tribes. Let me tell you, if God can save the chiefest of sinners, He can save all the other Indians that's in the tribe, can't He? No matter how filthy they are, no matter how deep down in despair of sin that they are in, that is the great news about the law. That yes, it shows us that where we fall short, but yet through the teachings of the law, it shows that there is a Savior that has came to die, to sacrifice Himself for our sins. And not just did He die, but He rose again. Still lives. See, and I don't have much. I really don't. I don't plan on holding y'all too long this morning. But I will say this before we stop and put it to a close. That when Adam and Eve partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you know, it opened their eyes. And you know what it did? Showed them that they were naked. And they was ashamed of their nakedness there. And so they tried to gather up fig leaves to cover themselves. We read in Hebrews, I think it's the 13th chapter, but I could be wrong about that. But it tells us that all things are naked in God's eyes. It's open. So there's people who might say, well, I am saved and might be running from God. But God knows your heart. For all things are naked unto Him. But you see, Adam and Eve, they were ashamed of their nakedness. We read in the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew how Jesus was given a parable over a marriage feast. And a man appeared unto the marriage feast there. And He said, and when the king came in 11th chapter, 22nd chapter, in 11th verse and 22nd chapter of Matthew, it says, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw that there was a man who had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friends, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There which shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you see, after Adam and Eve sewed on their fig leaves,
God had walked back in that garden and he said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I'm here. And God said, well, why did you hide? And Adam said, well, we was naked and we was afraid. And then the whole story happens. Sin entered in the world, causing mankind to work and causing women to have pain. But then after that, God had took, I believe it was a sheepskin, cut it and made clothes and put it on Adam and Eve. Let me tell you, folks, it's not a shame to be lost and separated from God. But I do think that it is a shame that after God has revealed to you that you are lost and in great need of a Savior and has tried many times to draw you to an altar of repentance, it's not a shame to be lost, but it is a shame to reject God and stay that way. It is a shame to stay naked when all God wants to do is to save them and clothe them from their nakedness. We read in Titus, Paul was writing to Titus here. In the second chapter, I promise you I'm almost done. But he was telling Titus there that it was not by works that we are saved by God's grace. And there are many people today who do try to say and try to live out a good life so that way they can be content in themselves and say there's nothing else they have to do to be in heaven. But let me tell you this, if works was able to save you, folks, you would still never do enough to be saved. If money had to save your soul, you would never save up enough to buy that precious gift. But yet it is by God's mercy, by God's abundant grace in Ephesians 2 and 8, that we are saved. So, church, I beg you this morning, let's be about God's business. Let's let the Spirit of God have free course among us. Because I'd love to see this church just glow up in Bartholomew County. Glow up to such a point in Acts chapter 16 that Paul and Silas, after they was thrown in jail, they started praying and singing praises to God and were even shook the jailhouse walls. Could you imagine a sight that had to have been? But yet a Philippian jailer came out and he was ready to kill himself. And Paul and Silas spoke out from the dust and they said, do thyself no harm. We are all here. None of us has escaped. And the Philippian jailer fell down on his face and said, what must I do to be saved? I believe from that very point that Philippian jailer had something working on the inside of him that troubled him. And you see, God has to trouble. I remember being lost. God troubled my heart whenever he let me know. There's no shame in that. Philippian jailer fell on his face and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in Jesus Christ. Believe on Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But it's not just believing that man had to do. That was a believing faith that they had asked him. Because In Acts 20 and 21, Paul said, "For it's repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Repentance. Many dictionaries will tell you that that means a change of mind. But yet, true repentance that comes from godly sorrow will not only develop a change of mind, but it will develop a change of heart and a change of attitude for sin. I hope and pray somebody got something out of this. I know it's not long. That's okay. It doesn't have to be long. But I do hope and pray somebody got something out of this. But I above all pray that Jesus was lifted up this morning. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song. Brother Mark, if you want to accompany her to the piano. Let us all stand and sing this morning. Praises to God. But I hope that this morning we can reason in our hearts. As David, before he went to battle Goliath, he asked the question. He said, "Is there not a cause?" And I hope this morning while we stand and sing, we can reason in our hearts that there is a cause to fight the good fight of faith for God. Sister Rachel.